called family said they would go, knowing that this physical world is but a blink of an eye in our lives, in eternal life with Christ. Hannah Lee is without her family now, but she does not regret going. Wow. Wow. I have a question for you to discuss. What do persecuted Christians know about God and His kingdom that keeps them going even under great threat? What do persecuted Christians, our brothers and sisters, even in this moment, this day, know about God and His kingdom that keep them going even under great threat? Discuss that among yourselves, and then we'll come back together. Let's come together. What do you think? What keeps Christians going? What do they know about God? What do they know about His kingdom that keep them going? It's better than what they have. God is real. His kingdom is real. Yeah. What else? They know that whenever they go, they know where they're going. Very good. They already know the answer to the last question. Good. Good. Okay. There's might and power, strength, and gathering together. Yes. Amen. Well, in praying for the persecuted church, let's make prayer powerful. Let's make prayer powerful. If we knew what persecuted Christians knew, what would our churches be like today? Yeah. God designed us, brothers and sisters, hear this. God designed this church, your church, the Baptist church, the Catholic church, the Seventh-day Adventist church in this town, has designed churches to advance into Satan's territory. Not just hunker down and hope he doesn't take another piece of their territory. Matthew 16, let me read this to you. Matthew 16, 15 through 19. Let me set the scene. Jesus with his disciples are on the northeast corner of the Sea of Galilee. They're probably 10, 15 miles north of there to a place called Caesarea Philippi. It's a beautiful place. When Mike and I were there, it's one of the most gorgeous places of all Israel. The water is flowing. It's pure. It's clean. It's a beautiful place with lots of trees and green. And that is where a lot of idol worship took place. And so Jesus, in the midst of this place, where all kinds of worship is going on, asks the disciples a question. Verse 15, chapter 16 of Matthew, verse 15. "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven." Let's call that revelation. Not revelation in the sense that God is, you know, this is a brand new thing, but this is an awareness for Simon that's going to take him and the disciples and us to a new depth of obedience. "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades," or the gates of hell, "will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth and whatever is will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Jesus is saying to Peter, the disciples, you and me, that we have the power to declare on earth what's already been declared in heaven. You know the prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Say it with me now. On earth as it already is in heaven. Do you see it? We have to catch this. The will of God in heaven has descended here. Jesus called it the kingdom of heaven. Or in the original Greek, the kingdom of the heavens, indicating that God is now all around us. Amen? God is all around us. He's here. There's no place he's not. So don't be afraid of wherever you go to serve God that he's not there. Don't ever be afraid of that. Ew. The kingdom of the heavens are here. And whatever you declare on earth that's already been declared on heaven, it will happen here. Wow. Really? Really. That's what we have not believed in our churches. Would you agree? When we see things just with our physical eyes and our physical experiences in this world, we say, that's impossible. God can't do that. But when we see things with our spiritual eyes, knowing God is in all places at all times, he knows all things, his power is so great that nothing can overpower him, we have a power that can't be stopped. We have a power we've not yet experienced. Let's make prayer powerful, that we could come to know what persecuted Christians know and advance into Satan's territory. So let me ask this question and we'll move in. I want you to take your sermon outline out, everybody. Follow along. There's a few blanks to fill in. Please fill in the blanks just to help you kind of stay connected to what we're talking about today. What makes persecuted Christians strong? Let's answer that question with a few facts. Number one, God's authority in his kingdom is today breaking into Satan's kingdom. Breaking, the underlined red word is what you put in. God's authority in his kingdom is today breaking into Satan's kingdom. All right? When is God's authority and power breaking in to Satan's authority in his kingdom? When is that happening? Say it. Today. This very minute. And it may be that God is breaking into your kingdom in some way and reaching a place that you've never let him reach before. Because you're willing to consider that just maybe God is God of all. All things. Secondly, God designed his church to reach and rescue people's lives. Jesus is the inviting king. He excludes no one, and he's the rescuing king. The gospel is about rescue. This allows God, through the gospel, to restore people to his original design and purpose. Just like you and I are in our process, in our daily walk with Jesus, we are being renewed to our original design and restored to his original purpose. Woo! Now that's a ride. That's a journey. That's a good thing. Thirdly, God commissioned Christians to give others real life experiences of his love, because this is what opens their hearts to the gospel. If we walk up to somebody, if I walk up to somebody out in the hall and say, Jesus loves you, and then walk away, that's not an experience of love. Okay? Last week, we talked about unexpected love. Remember that? Unexpected love. When I do something to someone who does not expect me to do that thing, they go, whoo, whoa, wow, what was that? Okay? And vice versa. When somebody does something for you, you didn't expect. Okay? Let's take that from a one-on-one experience to a culture-to-culture experience. A race-to-race experience. Now, my viewpoint of race is that there's only one. It's called the human race. There's not black or white or red or green or yellow or anything else. But when one race says of another race, oh, they're like that, and then that race comes and does something unexpected in love, guess what gets changed? Wow, it's awesome. Jesus taught, next one, Jesus taught his disciples to learn to serve by going. Learn to serve by going. Say that phrase with me. Learn to serve by going. Here's one of the things that we as churches have got ourselves caught up in. We have said, I don't know enough yet. Yet. Let's have another class. Let's have another training. Now, I'm not against training or classes. I think they're good things. We need to have those. But the problem is, we hide behind wanting another one, and we step right into Satan's strategy when we do that. We'll share that strategy in a moment. Have you had enough training to share anything you know about Jesus with someone else? Do you? Have you had enough? Do you know enough to say something about who Jesus is? Everybody go like this. Learn by going principle. Matthew 9:13. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, Jesus told his disciples. Matthew 28:19. Go and make disciples of everyone. All nations, he said. That means everyone. Of all nations, go and make disciples. Matthew 10:7. When Jesus sent out the 12 apostles to preach and heal, he said, as you go, tell the people the kingdom of heaven is now here. And how will they know the kingdom of heaven is now here? They've just experienced proof through healing, through unexpected compassion, love experiences. The kingdom is here. This place where God lives is not far away. It's here. Next, breaking into Satan's kingdom means accepting some risk. This is another thing. I don't want to be offensive, but I think a lot of us Christians are wimps. You own that? Are you on that? Yeah, okay. We all have fear, but fear that wins the day stops us. Breaking into Satan's kingdom means accepting some risk. To risk making mistakes. I don't want to say it wrong. I don't want to look foolish. Making mistakes are good in that they confirm to you and to me that we're doing something we haven't done before. And now we're trying it, and we're going to stumble, and we're going to fall, and maybe look a little silly to ourselves, but that's okay. I'm going to Haiti. I don't know what I'm going to face. But this is one thing I'm taking with me. The compassion of Jesus, and whatever it takes, whatever risk it means, because I'm a pastor on the team, I'm kind of slightly thinking that they're going to use me as a leader of one of the teams. That scares me. Is it okay if I tell you that? Because I don't know what to expect. But not knowing what to expect is okay. I'm willing to take some risk. I'm going to look foolish. That's okay. I'm going. And the going is how I'm going to learn. And the same is true for you. We need to risk feeling afraid. Are you willing to risk feeling afraid? How many times, whenever an angel appeared to someone in Scripture, the first thing out of the angel's mouth is, do not be, okay? Is he saying don't feel fear? No, he's not saying that. What he is saying is, don't let fear rule the day. Don't let fear stop you. The Grinwald family had fear. Moving from the safety of South Africa, the place they called home, to Afghanistan, a place of lots of danger. They had fear, but it didn't stop them. To risk resistance. What if someone doesn't like that I'm doing something in God's name? That's okay. Next, that Satan's strategy for crippling the church is, say it, soon. We'll get to that soon. You know how many hundreds of years, you know how many hearts have gone to hell because Christians have said soon? His strategy works. It feels Christian to say soon. I'll get to that. Jesus' strategy is, say it, today. Right now. Right now. When Bob and Cindy Calvert and I were at a seminar with Steve and Christina Stewart back in December 3rd, we knew what was coming. Friday night was some training, Saturday morning was some training, and then they said, okay, now go to the community and do what we told you to do. We just trained you to do. And we knew that moment was coming. But, it, you know, at 10 o'clock in the morning, I'm still safe. Because it's not noon yet. And when we hooked out of there to go knock on doors and pray for people, I didn't want to go. I was scared. But in the doing, no. In the going, I learned how fun it is to see someone be so appreciative that somebody would knock on their door and ask to pray for them. Powerful. But I was scared. We got to experience, Bob, Cindy, and I, today. When Dan and Rosalind decided to go to Papua New Guinea and they got on the plane and they flew, that day for them was today. And when they experienced difficulties they didn't know what to do with, that was their today. And they faced it because God was there with them. And they learned by going. So do we. Well, let's talk about some actions that result from this kind of prayer. Praying this way. Boldness to keep taking risks. You know, Bob and Cindy and I, we could say, hey, you know, Remember December 3rd? Man, that was a great thing. And then next year we go, hey, remember December 3rd? And the year after, hey, remember December? Because we're talking about the past. The past is not today. God got someone on your heart today. But today's football. I hope that ruined your day. Darn it! Demonstrating God's love in a variety of tangible and imaginative ways. Ways that we get to help people experience the love of God. Through asking for prayer from other Christians, persecuted Christians can do these things. Push through fear that says, stop obeying God. Be safe today. By asking for prayer from other Christians, persecuted Christians don't quit when discouraged with thoughts that their efforts aren't making any real difference. By asking for prayer from other Christians, persecuted Christians schedule times to reach out with God's love so that they aren't distracted by busyness, interruptions, or thoughts of how inconvenient it is to obey God right now. Brothers and sisters, we need to pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters. Let me give you an example. I'm going to give you an example of how to pray using the points A through F on your outline. And then I'm going to ask you to gather together and pray using these very points. Because we just said that these things make Christians under persecution strong to keep going. So let's pray for the things that help them keep going. So let me give you an example in prayer. I'm looking at letter A on your outline. Father God, your authority in your kingdom is today breaking into Satan's territory. Lord, just even saying so makes me smile. Father, wherever my brothers and sisters in Christ are at, where there's pressure to not speak your name, where there's threat upon their livelihood or their very lives. Father, strengthen my brothers and sisters today, this moment, right now, to remember that your power, your authority rules over Satan's power and authority, that you are breaking in to his territory. And Lord, that the things they are doing to give others experience of your love, it really is making a difference. Even if they don't see it, help them stay strong and stay the path. In Jesus' name, amen. See how that works? Just use this outline to pray for your brothers and sisters to stay strong. You know why? Because they're praying these things for us. Gather together and pray. God in heaven, we come because we want to lift these prayers to you, Lord, like a pleasant aroma reaching you. Father, your aroma then turns into power for our brothers and sisters in this moment. Lord, they would keep going. And Father, thank you for helping us know that they are praying the very same for us. That even though we have enough food and enough money and enough heat and enough water, Lord, they are praying for us to not let the good things of life make us too comfortable to obey. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the power staying power of prayer. And may we not just do this on one Sunday morning, but Lord, that we'll put these prayer requests, these ways to pray powerfully in our places of worship and prayer. Copy them and put them everywhere around the house. Lord, that the words of Jesus would come true over and over and over again, that on this confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that the gates of hell will not prevail in keeping it out. Praise your name. Praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's stand together. Let's worship him in this next song.